Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It's in my heart. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He stood up to read, and he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed intently on him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' or 'Do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine had spread across the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the days of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow on which their town had been built, to throw him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the 1880s, the U.S. Congress created Labor Day as a day that would be something similar to a secular Sabbath, a day on which everyone could go and hear lectures and talks about the real meaning of human work, especially its deeper significance, its spiritual significance. Over the course of time, Labor Day has just become, in essence, a civil holiday and the informal end to summer. But it's really important for us on this day to ponder the meaning of human work, to have a spiritual talk, to pray about the work that we've been given to do, so that we can not only do it better, but so that we can unite ourselves to God through doing it. Work is so key in God's plan. Most people today misunderstand work totally. They look forward to the weekend, they look forward to retirement, they look forward to time off, because work is, for most, simply a burden. It's not looked at part of their vocation, but it is. From before the fall, when we go back to the book of Genesis, God gave us a threefold work to increase and multiply. So many people want to reject that vocation. To fill the earth and subdue it. To harness the potential that God has put in creation. To have dominion over all the other creatures. Exercising stewardship on behalf of the Dominus, on behalf of the Lord. that was before the fall, because through our work we were going to be perfecting ourselves, the highest point of all creation. We become more and more according to our nature when we start to exercise not just physical fatherhood or motherhood, but spiritual. That when we begin to see the potential and harness it in things, at that same time God is harnessing our potential. As we have dominion over other creatures, we begin to recognize the dominion that the Lord has over us. So that's why it's so essential from the beginning. But with the fall, that vocation and work remained, but it would now become part of the redemption. There would become some suffering in it, but that suffering was meant not to be alienating, but salvific. So there would be pains in childbirth, so there'd be toil in the harnessing of creation. There'd be sweat on the brow in the caring for the animals, for example. But it was through this suffering that we would now be able to share in the redemption, precisely because we would endure those pains for those for whom we were working, for the recipients of our work, for those who would profit from what we'd earn, especially our loved ones. Jesus entered into this world of work when he came, which is why I think it's always fitting every 6 years or so, when Labor Day falls on the 22nd Monday of Ordinary Time, because we see Jesus return to Nazareth, where he spent most of his salvific life. We can be tempted sometimes to think that the hidden years in Nazareth were just a prelude to the real action, that Jesus' salvation really happened in his public ministry and then in the few days of the Triduum. But Jesus was saving us, including in those hidden years, there in Nazareth. The early fathers of the church had said that what Jesus didn't assume, he wouldn't redeem. So in order to redeem our work, he entered into the world of work, becoming an apprentice to St. Joseph, learning a simple trade. Might have been much more fitting, we would think, to have Jesus train as a rabbi. But in his divine wisdom, he wanted to train as a carpenter, a tekton in Greek, which means construction worker. But it can also mean architect, because the ancient tekta would do all of this. He entered into that building process, because it was not only manual, in which he would exercise what was there in creation, but it was also meant to be quite spiritual, as he was in fact building us in the world up through his simple work with wood and the ancient metals and other building materials. Jesus likewise esteemed human work. He regularly used it in his teachings about the kingdom. If you read Laborum Exercens by St. John Paul II, he describes the many professions Jesus quotes. My memory says, quotes 23 different professions in his preaching, from fishermen to tax collectors to farmers to housewives to cooks. Jesus was constantly using human work as the diving board into the understanding of the work of God. So today, we praise him for the gift that he's given us a lot of work to sanctify, because it's meant not only to bring us to perfection as human beings, but it's meant to help us enter more fully into the work of redemption. Today, we see Jesus return to the place where he sanctified human work, to start to bring that work to its culmination. He enters the synagogue on the Sabbath, takes the scroll of Isaiah 61 and reads Isaiah's prophecy of the messianic works that would be accomplished. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a jubilee year. As we'll see in St. Luke's Gospel, which we begin today and which will continue for the next 12 weeks until the first Sunday of Advent, Jesus would start to check off each of those boxes over and over again. Luke structures his gospel to show that these weren't just words for Jesus, but that he would fulfill this scripture not merely in the hearing of the Nazarenes, but in the eyes of those in Galilee and Judea and even the pagan territories. But Jesus was showing precisely what his redeeming work would be. It would fundamentally be a work of preaching, of healing, and ultimately of liberation. But that work of proclamation, healing, and liberation would itself find its fulfillment in his passion, death, and resurrection, which is why when he was fulfilling scripture in their midst, there was another prophecy that was taking place, and the rejection he would receive. They went first from astonishment at his amazing words to questioning, isn't this the son of the carpenter? To doubt, how can this man fulfill scripture in our hearing? How can one of our own be the Messiah? To rage, to homicidal intentions as they tried to throw him down head first from the precipice on which Nazareth was built. Jesus is suffering there of that type of opposition from his own. It was a foretaste of what would happen in the praetorium of Pontius Pilate and on the hill called the Place of the Skull. Jesus' work would take place through even his suffering and death, which is a foretaste of the work that we will do, suffering out of love for others in whichever way God permits. But it's all part of his saving plan. And that's where today's first reading fits in. When St. Paul talks about death, the whole process of the culmination of Christ's work in us, he says, we don't want you to be unaware of those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. In worldly eyes, death is just a loss. In the perspective of Christ's continuous work, it's a passage in which Christ's work begins to be brought to fulfillment in us. And that's why we don't grieve like all the rest. We do grieve. When we lose our loved ones, we mourn, we weep. Life will never be the same. When God takes our parents, no matter how old we are, we experience what it means to be orphaned. But we grieve differently, because we grieve conscious of the fact that Christ is doing his work. And it's through the death of others and even our own that we enter more fully into that work. That work of his own Passover, leading us through death into life. So that's why we grieve with hope. Hope means living with God in the world. And so we grieve together with God in the midst of the world as we literally collaborate with him. The most important way that we enter into his work each day is through our union of work with him here on this altar. At the offertory, when the priest on behalf of Christ says, pray, brothers and sisters, that your sacrifice and mine may be acceptable to the Lord. That work that we offer is all that we do, what we've done and what we're about to do. And we unite it to his saving work here. In the very words of the offertory, we incorporate human work into this greatest of all sacraments. We don't start with grains and grapes. We start with bread and wine, fruit of the earth and vine, and the work of human hands. As we prepare today, through this votive mass for the sanctification of human labor, to offer this great work to the Father and enter into Jesus' work in Nazareth, enter into his preaching, and enter into his passion, death, and resurrection. Let us ask the Lord to sanctify us through our labor and to make us capable of continuing Jesus' saving work in a world that needs it just as much as the Nazarene.